like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore, let the mighty eagle soar. Soar with healing and all other kings, as the mighty
this country's far. Welcome to the Christmas Coup Comedy Players. That's the CCCP, the first Thursday of the month, Laughing Nightmare, with David Dozer, John McDonough, Mark Kehoe, Moogie Klingman, Scooter, Marshall Efron and Alphabetti Olson, Joe Randazzo, Shannon Manning, Dan Ahern, John Sirius Almella, Christopher Zagouras, John Ashcroft, The Happy Tones, Free Radio Santa Cruz, The Android Sisters, me, Janet Coleman, and starring Randy Credico as the President of the United States. Well, shall we just launch into today's infinitely complex social fabric? Just take a thread here, all right?
Launching now, the CCCP.
We're champions of the earth. We're Americans of very much worth. We're not zeros, we're materialistic heroes, Captain Privilege and Peter Patriot. Gosh, it makes us mad when they spit on our flag, and we see sparks when they sleep in our parks. But Captain Privilege and Peter Patriot wipe them out. That's what we're all about, baby.
Gosh, you have your suitcase out, and you're packing your clothing. What's going on, oh feckless leader?
I have plenty of feck.
Oh, forgive me. How about oh feckful leader?
Sounds like feculent. Forget it. I've been feeling a little down lately. I heard of a place where Americans are truly loved. A place that we invaded, and the people threw roses, nylon stockings, and chocolates at our guys. Let's go and be adored.
Oh, what place is that?
Baghdad.
Oh, sounds good to me, Captain Privilege.
Hurry. Keep up.
But what will I do with the nylon stockings? I can't wear them.
I don't care. This is it, Peter Patriot. Baghdad, a teeming city of minarets and people. An ancient city, used to be crossroads of civilization, famous for its architecture.
Oh, it looks like rubble to me. Did they have an earthquake?
No, they had us. We're fixing it, putting in electricity.
You mean that wire sparking on the ground?
Yes.
And that water leaking from the hose is...
fresh H2O. Let's make contact with the natives. We'll be jocular. It melts the ice.
What ice? It's hot, Captain Privilege.
I don't care. Hola! Greetings.
Guten Morgen, meine Herren. Captain Privilege, no one's smiling.
Well, they're not laughing either. Give someone a Stars and Stripes fudgy bar now before trouble starts.
Okay, I'll give one to the man over there wearing a jacket over his nightgown. Hello, sir. Here, have a Stars and Stripes fudgy bar. It's the taste of America.
It smells fishy.
Well, it is fishy. That's the surprise anchovy inside.
Oh, it stinks and tastes bad. You.
Hey, don't throw that shoe at me.
Ow.
I feel a downer coming on. Let's go home. Ow. Oh.
Good thinking, Captain, but wait. Let's not exit so fast. I just remembered they have anthrax here.
Yes, and weapons of mass destruction, too.
But no one has found them yet.
Let's search for them and be heroes.
Ooh, the president will love us.
Maybe he'll get reelected. Come on, there's a heck of a lot of rubble here to search through.
I found something. Captain, look, this looks like a centrifuge deflector.
Well, let me see. Oh, no, Peter. This is an egg beater.
Ah, too bad. Mm. Oh, but look at this.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, this is a neutrino extractor designator.
No, that's a teapot.
Yes, but look at this, a nuclear weapon shield if I ever saw one.
Well, that is a napkin.
Do you suppose...
that this is a bombed-out restaurant? Because if you do, you're right.
I'm hungry.
Me too. Hand me a Stars and Stripes fudgy bar.
Yum, yum, yum. Lips smacking.
Good.
Do you see a difference? Do you see a difference between saying with certainty that we know something and saying that there is some evidence of something?
I think I remember the moment I said we know something.
Because I know I didn't know. I didn't know. I don't know. And I didn't believe it was knowable.
I'd like to welcome a very special guest now. From the original Ray's Original Roman Pizza, Ray.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, Ray. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Ray, as an ancient Roman, we're really interested in your perspective on this. Some people compare America in terms of its power and wealth as being unprecedented in world history, except for the Roman Empire. Do you see any comparisons between the American Empire and the Roman Empire?
There's no comparison. The Roman Empire, by far, was much more exciting and vibrant a place to live in. It was a fabulous place with gold-encrusted building. It was wonderful. Today, what do we have? Except for this beautiful pizzeria located on Christopher Street. This fabulous place, everything else, nothing.
Well, there's New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Chicago. These are great cities with lots of culture. And
don't get me wrong. They're very nice. But yeah. Ancient Rome, what?
More marble.
We're talking classic. Okay?
Moving on to some other contemporary issues. In the movies this week is The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's new film. Stirring a lot of controversy. Have you gotten a chance to get out and see it yet?
You know, I had the real thing. I remember on the Appian Way, we used to have them lined up into the sunset. It was wonderful. I mean, impressive. What do I want to go see a movie with three guys getting crucified for? I mean, who was it? This Jesus Christ, the Jewish fellow.
Sure, he was the Jewish.
What did he do?
Well, he led people in, I guess you could say, a spiritual revolt.
Oh, a rebellious kid. Yeah, well, you know, that'll happen to you. But, I mean, I don't understand the blood. We used to tie him up there, leave him, go home, have a good lunch, take a nap, come back and watch till sunset. And they died, believe me. We didn't have to beat him up or cut him or make him bleed. It was none of that mess. It was very picturesque the way we did it.
There are critics still of The Passion of the Christ who say that it's inflaming anti-Semitism, which some fear is on the rise all around the world.
No, this I don't understand.
Okay.
Jesus is a Jewish fella, right?
Yes.
Well, now how does beating up a Jewish fella inflame anti-Semitism? I mean, you know, don't people feel sorry for this poor guy?
Well, I think...
God, I know I do. I mean, why do they say it's inflame anti-Semitism?
Well, I think the whole idea of what Christ was doing was to invoke compassion. But there are still those who blame the Jews, being the Jewish priests, who sent him off to be executed by the Romans for his execution.
So they're saying the Jewish priests were behind all of this?
That seems to be how it's depicted in the
film.
What,
and the poor innocent Roman soldiers, they were, you know, they were just doing what the Jewish priests said, right? Yeah, come on, get out of here.
You don't believe
that? No, look, the Romans that I know didn't need encouragement to crucify anybody. They were out there working at it every day. They didn't need to be encouraged by Jewish priests. They were dedicated.
The president has recently announced plans to endorse a constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage in the United States. I've heard commentators saying that gay marriage, if allowed in the U.S., will rip the very fabric of what binds us socially.
Right.
And they say that this is the same thing that happened in the Roman Empire. Did you find that to be the case?
No.
Ray?
No. That wasn't the problem. People were a little demoralized, maybe a little jealous of their status, but no, it wasn't a problem. What happened in the Roman Empire? We had gay marriage for, I don't know, 50, 100 years. It was nice. Big boost to the wedding industry.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. But it didn't tear the fabric of the society apart.
No.
No. It's just that the men and the women were jealous. They said, this is our thing. What are you doing? Horning in on our thing. That's where Cosa Nostra came from, by the way.
You is know, that right?
Our thing, right. There, huh.
From the jealousy of the gay.
That's where
word.
It started. It was a very, you know, there was a lot of jealousy. It was difficult.
Well, it certainly is a hot topic these days. Ray, I want to thank you from Original Ray's Original Roman Pizza for being here with us.
Open 10 to 10 every day.
Located where?
Right here on Christopher Street.
On Christopher Street. Any knowledge you'd like to give us, Ray, in your millennia of experience before we go?
Eat a pizza pie once a week and eat pluribus unum.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Ray from Original Ray's Original Roman Pizza. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, and other lower and higher life forms, here at the Digital Circus, we are so proud to present the Android Sisters. Oh, no, wait. Tonight, they have a sparkling new speak song for you, a song that speaks to us from a place where... Well, it's a place where you just may find yourself one day. And here they are, the Android Sisters with the Christian Inquisition.
We got your number.
We know who you are.
You shall.
You healers.
You psychics.
You witches.
You new age dupes of the devil. You'll all quake
when you feel
the fist of the Almighty come the Christian Inquisition. You astrologers.
Clairvoyants.
You channelers.
Crystal gazers.
You new agers. You know who you are.
We know who you are.
Our computers know exactly where you are.
Better say your prayers.
Come the Christian Inquisition. Your devil's work.
We have our ways.
We know how to stretch and dunk and burn
and draw and quarter and flail you alive.
You get the point.
You will.
Come the Christian Inquisition. You shamans,
you psychics,
you healers,
witches.
Fun days are over.
Your days are numbered.
The church returns. Repent. It's not too late. Or is it? Come the Christian Inquisition.
You tarot readers.
You healers.
You pyramid sitters.
You astrologers.
You clairvoyants.
You channelers.
You
new age dupes of the devil. We'll crush your cults. There is but one way, and that way will be clear. Oh, so clear. Come the Christian Inquisition. We've stacked the courts.
We've stacked the Congress.
We have money. We have power. We have fear.
There is nothing to stop us now. Bring on the instruments of persuasion. Open wide the doors. It's time once more to welcome the Christian Inquisition.
Wasn't that something? Whoa! The Android Sisters! Ha ha ha!
911 operator.
I'd like to report a murder.
Are you with the victim now?
No.
Do you have the victim's name?
No, I don't have any names. They're just 10,000 Iraqi civilians.
Have you attempted CPR?
We're champions of the earth. We're Americans of very much worth. We're not zeros. We're materialistic heroes. Captain Privilege and Peter Patriot. Gosh, it makes us mad when they spit on our flag, and we see sparks when they sleep in our parks. But Captain Privilege and Peter Patriot wipe them out. That's what we're all about, baby.
Peter, I've been going over the books, and we need dough.
Aren't there any jobs here in America?
The president has told us often of job creation. He thinks, therefore, it is. One second. Hello? Who am I talking to?
Sean, you have an overdue balance on your credit card.
Sean, where are you calling from?
I am not allowed to tell you that.
Well, how's the weather where you are?
110 degrees and raining.
So, you're calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico?
No, Bombay, India.
Ah, gotcha.
Ah, but I used to work in Albuquerque. Now I have a better job, making phone calls for your credit card company, and I can work here at home in India.
You left a good American job for a good American job.
Yes, me and my buddy Kumar, now known as Kevin. In America, he was known as Kumar. In India, the credit card company has renamed him Kevin. I was not always Sean. I was Rakesh.
Sean, is your old job still open?
Yes. Also, Kevin's job is open. Not for long. There are some Mexicans who make it those jobs.
My associate Peter Patriot and myself are willing to work. Tell me who to contact.
A man named Vikram Peshti at 1392 Central Adobe Boulevard. Good luck and goodbye.
Peter! Load the pickup. We're driving across country.
There it is. 1392 Central Adobe Boulevard. That's it.
Yes, hello.
We have come to replace Kumar and Rakesh.
Ah, please don't come in. You must have new names. You?
Yes.
Will be Salman. And you?
Yes.
Will be Sanjay. The Akbar Palace starts serving dinner at 6.
Oh, Salman, where is my dessert?
We're out of perfume pudding. We have a Stars and Stripes buggy bar instead. Here, it's a taste of America.
It tastes fishy.
That's the anchovy in the middle.
Ooh, that tastes terrible.
Is everything all right here?
No, this man...
Salman.
Salman, as in salmonella, tried to poison me.
Salman, you're fired.
Oh.
And take your friend Sanjay with you.
Huh.
I always knew I was really Captain Privilege.
I was always Peter Patriot. Do you feel bad we were fired?
No, I don't care. I'm filing for bankruptcy and getting rid of unnecessary debt.
Have a Stars and Stripes fuzzy bar, the only bar with the wrapper you can salute.
Do you see a difference?
911, what is your emergency? Is the intruder in there with you now, sir?
No. He's in the White House.
What is your address, sir?
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Is there any apartment number?
What?
Way, way, way back. There were elephants
and donkeys
romping in the playpen.
And even though
it wasn't their playpen,
no one else was allowed to play.
They made sure
it was very expensive
to play in their playpen. Yes, children, it was all a game. But the elephants
and donkeys
made the rules. And the rules were,
if you were not an elephant
or a donkey,
maybe you were a buffalo
or a bull
or a swan
or a snake,
well, tough. The elephants
and donkeys
made sure no one else
was getting into
their playpen.
No way, no sir.
They bickered,
they fought,
they bit each other on the ears, they kicked each other in the rumps, they trumpeted, they hee-hawed, all sound bites, you know.
But some people thought,
why don't we have whinnies?
And barks and meows
and oinks
and hisses. But nope,
no one else
was allowed in their playpen.
Now in other lands,
they had bears
and bulls
and buffaloes
and green things.
No one was sure what the green things were. But anyway,
people put up with that elephant and donkey crap for the longest time.
You wouldn't believe how long.
Well,
you probably would.
people kept clamoring for change.
Hey, brother, can you spare some change?
But no
change.
What did we get?
More elephants, more donkeys.
Oh, democracy. Oh, poor democracy, once lofty.
With branches
that spread and shaded all. Now whittled down
to a sliver of a
sound bite. Trumpets
and hee-haws
and keep-its
and trumphaws
and pulpits.
You can't tell the difference anymore. What was once an elephant
became an alecky.
What was once a donkey
became a dog fant.
Yep, they were playing in
their playpen by themselves for too darn long. So, remember, children, your vote counts.
Well, it counts if you vote for, you know.
And we went to bed in this little shack kind of thing, and one of the guys in the group, he was an editor from back east. And he wakes up, and it was really hot and stifling. So he goes outside. It's still dark out. Sun hasn't come up yet. And he's sitting on the front steps of the shack, and he feels like somebody's watching him. And he turns around, and there's these two little Haitian kids. So he beckons to them, you know. Talking, but he's got a notebook and he's drawing pictures and they're doing hand signals. The kids say something to each other and they nod and smile and they grab him by the hand and they say, you know, come on, we're going to take you somewhere. And they start dragging him off down this path into the woods. I gets a little bit worried, you know, like, where the hell are these kids taking me? And they take them up the path. They're going up the side of this hill. And the guy, he was very honest. He was a white guy, and he said all this racism that he wasn't even aware was in him started to come out. Like, oh my God, they're going to take me and put me in a big pot. This racism. Going up the side of this hill, up this path, and this guy is starting to freak out. This guy is starting to freak out. And he says, just as he's like so scared that he's about to break away from him, the kids stop. And they turn him around, and they face him east. And the sun was just breaking the horizon at the end of that valley, and all the shafts of sunlight were shafting into the trees, and all the songbirds were coming to song. And he said it was the most beautiful experience of his entire life. And he looked down, and these two little kids were looking up at him with these huge smiles on their face because they knew what they just gave him. These kids didn't have shoes. They didn't have real pants. They had rags on. They had no material wealth, and they reached out across the entire class structure of the planet to a guy from the top of the pyramid, from their position at the bottom, and they touched his heart in a way that changed his life forever. That guy will never be the same. When he told us the story, we all cried, right? Now, if those little kids who are not literate and have no material resources can do that, we can change the world. We can end hunger. We can end war. We can end environmental destruction. It's not as hard as it sounds. We can change.
It always seems to go that you don't know who you got till he's gone. They invade paradise and give
the old death squads backed by America. And don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They invade paradise and gave us a coup d'etat. Lies, CIA tells lies, lies, State Department lies. Hey, George Bush, he kidnapped democracy. You put a gun to his head and told him he better flee. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They invade paradise and gave us a coup d'etat. Lies, CIA tells lies, lies, State Department lies. Late last night, Colin Powell got on the phone. He said it's death to your family unless you will leave your home. Hey, people, don't you know it's Bush we got to overthrow? They invade paradise and gave us a coup d'etat. Lies, CIA tells lies, lies, State Department lies. They took Aristide, they forced him on an aeroplane. And though they deny it, the CIA is to blame. And don't it always seem to go that you don't know who you got till he's gone? They invade paradise and gave us a coup d'etat. Lies, CIA tells lies, lies, State Department lies. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know who you shot till he's gone? They invade paradise and gave us a coup d'etat. Lies, CIA tells lies, lies, George Bush, he tells lies. People, people, don't you know it's Bush we got to overthrow? They invade paradise and gave us a coup d'etat. Lies, CIA tells lies, lies, they keep on lies. People, people, don't you know that it's Bush we got to overthrow?
911, what is your emergency?
I'd like to report a robbery.
What was stolen, sir?
Only the presidential election.
Is the election your property, sir?
Well, it's the property of the American people.
Do you have a receipt to prove that, sir?
We take you now live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are arriving for a meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Mr. President?
Mr. President, where are you?
Condi, that special phone is flashing. It's probably the President.
This Mickey Mouse phone?
Yeah, Eisner gave it to him for Valentine's Day. He memorized the phone number.
That's hard to believe.
No, it's M-I-C-K-E-Y-W.
Oh. Uh-huh. Hello, oh. Mr. President?
Hello, Mr. President.
Connie. How do you like my Mickey Mouse phone?
Ooh,
like
very.
Mickey Mouse phone?
Very nice, Mr. President. Very nice.
Nice?
Hmm?
It's solid gold, Condi. Cleverly encased in nice, cheap plastic.
Very, very clever, Mr. President. Cheap plastic.
Cheap plastic shell, much like the Vice President, you might say.
I'm here, Mr. President, right here.
I know you're there, Dick.
Well,
that's why I said you are solid gold.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we're keeping you on the ticket.
Well,
I know that ticker's working of yours. You've already got all those heart attacks out of the way.
Yeah.
You got a good ticker.
I do.
All right?
I paid a lot for it.
I'm going to ask you to step aside and go to the Central African Republic.
Well, I don't think so.
Put on George Pataki in your place.
Pataki has a cheap plastic shell.
I know he does,
well.
Dick, but you're solid gold.
All right.
Solid gold.
Okay.
Where are you, Mr. President? Where?
I've gone to high school, Condi.
High school?
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm in very nearby, inside the Beltway High School, Condi.
Well, that could be dangerous, Mr. President.
Well, I promised to randomly test teenagers for drugs. I mean, I was going to personally perform these random drug tests on random teenagers myself.
Well, that's a good idea, Mr. President.
Yeah. this is an election year victory, Dick, in our battle against illegal drug usage.
Battles are good to win, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's random,
mm-hmm.
Okay? It's random.
Yes.
That is what is so great about this drug testing.
Yep.
Oh, you there. Passed it over here.
Well, what's happening there, Mr. President? What's going on?
This is three-wheel-weed, Dick.
Oh, yeah?
Don't bogart that joint, Mr. President.
There has been an 18% drop in teenage use of the drug ecstasy over the past year. This is good, bro. Good. Ooh, this is good.
That's wonderful, Mr. President.
But more youngsters are switching to prescription drugs for fun, like OxyContin and Vicodin.
Easy for you to say.
I don't
easy
take it.
For you to say.
Well.
Okay?
Yes.
You're not doing what I'm doing right now. But what about the crack cocaine, heroin, and the deadliest of all, marijuana?
Well, there is no evidence of any decline in the use of any of those substances, Mr. President.
Well, I don't care. We are winning the drug war because of the decline in the use of ecstasy. Can you spell that?
Yes. That's a great victory, Mr. President.
That's right, Mr. Goodhart.
Yeah.
And because I know a good way to change a person's behavior is to change their heart. Faith-based treatment programs will always be an option.
Well, we love faith-based programs, Mr. President.
Faith is the best base.
And because changing a person's heart is so important, okay?
It is
so important. Another option will be heart transplants for atheists who do not respond to faith-based treatment. Like that?
Yes.
Because if you can't change your heart by believing in God, preferably Jesus Christ, my Savior, then you just may need a heart operation where we give you a plastic heart that has been blessed by Jerry Falwell and prayed over by Amy Simple McPherson.
Well, that would make any atheist extremely religious, Mr. President.
I can't believe I got all those words out.
You did.
Did you hear that?
Did very well.
Didn't even take a breath.
Did you pass the joint around a bit?
Oh, boy, it's hard. Well, I'm hopping the aspen. I'm joking around. I know it would, Condi. Okay? Religious. I know it would make you extremely religious. Hey, give me Mickey Mouse telephone a big kiss for me, would you please?
Yes, I will.
And just to show my heart is in the right place, tell Elton John he can marry my Mickey Mouse telephone if he wants to.
I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand those Republicans.
Mr. Speaker, Vice President Cheney, members of Congress, distinguished guests, and fellow citizens. America this evening is a nation called to great responsibilities, and we are rising to meet them. As we gather tonight, hundreds of thousands of American servicemen and women are deployed across the world in the war on terror. By bringing hope to the violent and delivering justice to the secure. Each day, law enforcement personnel and intelligence officers are making America more depressed. Each day, law enforcement personnel are tracking terrorist threats. Analysts are examining airline passenger lists. The men and women of our new Homeland Security Department are patrolling our coasts and borders, protecting America. We are also confronting the regimes that harbor and support terrorist threats and could supply them with nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons. We're dealing with these thugs in Iraq just as surely as we dealt with Saddam Hussein's evil regime. Today, our coalition is working with the Iraqi Governing Council to draft a basic law with a Bill of Rights. We're working with Iraqis and the United Nations to prepare for a transition to full Iraqi sovereignty by the end of June. As democracy takes hold in Iraq, the enemies of freedom will do all in their power to spread violence and fear. Tonight, members of Congress can take pride in the great works of compassion and reform that skeptics had thought impossible. You're raising the standards for our public schools. And America's always been willing to do what it takes for what is right. As democracy takes hold in Iraq, the enemies of freedom will do all in their power to spread violence and fear. They're trying to shake the will of our country and our friends. But the United States of America will never be intimidated by thugs and assassins.
Terrorist threats.
Threats. For diplomacy to be effective, threats. Words must be credible. And no one can now doubt the word of America.
Terrorist threats.
King terrorist threats. America and the international community are demanding that Iran meet its commitments and not develop nuclear weapons. America is committed to keeping the world's most dangerous weapons out of the hands of the most dangerous regimes. From the beginning, America has sought international support for our operations in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we have gained much support. And we must continue to give our homeland security and law enforcement personnel every tool they need to defend us. And one of those essential tools is the Patriot Act, which allows federal law enforcement to better share information, to track terrorists, to disrupt their cells, and to seize their assets. For years, we have used similar provisions to catch embezzlers and drug traffickers. If these methods are good for hunting criminals, they are even more important for hunting terrorists. The first to see our determination were the Taliban, who made Afghanistan the primary training base of Al-Qaeda killers. As of this month, that country has a new constitution guaranteeing free elections and full participation by women. Businesses are opening. Healthcare centers are being established. And the boys and girls of Afghanistan are back in school.
We come in peace. We come in peace. We come in peace. We come in peace.
They came in peace.
Coalition is leading aggressive raids against the surviving members of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. The men and women of Afghanistan are building a nation that is free and proud and fighting terror, and America is honored to be their friend. Combat forces of the United States, Great Britain, Australia, Poland, and other countries enforced the demands of the United Nations, ended the rule of Saddam Hussein, and the people of Iraq are free. Having broken the Ba'athist regime, we face a remnant of violent Saddam supporters. These killers, joined by foreign terrorists, are a serious continuing danger. But we're making progress against them. The once all-powerful ruler of Iraq was found in a hole and now sits in a prison cell. Our forces are on the offensive, leading over 1,600 patrols a day and conducting an average of 180 raids a week. We are dealing with these thugs in Iraq just as surely as we dealt with Saddam Hussein's evil regime.
We come in peace. We come in peace. We come in peace.
As democracy takes hold in Iraq, the enemies of freedom will do all in their power to spread violence and fear. They are trying to shake the will of our country and our friends.
We take you now live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice are arriving for a meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Mr. President?
It's the Mickey Mouse phone again, Dick.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hello, Mr. President?
Hello?
Got it. Is Dick with you?
I'm here, Mr. President.
Okay. Well, Dick, now it's Kerry versus Bush.
You will clobber, Mr. President. Who is John Kerry, anyway?
Who is he?
Yeah.
That's right, Dick. Who is he?
Yeah.
He's nobody, Mr. President.
That's right.
Nobody.
Yeah. He's nobody. He's Mr. Flip-Flop, because he flip-flops. He flip-flops on everything.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He flip-flops on the war.
He's a flip-flopper.
He's against the war.
Yep.
He's for the war.
Right.
He's against the war.
Yes.
He's for the Patriot Act.
That's
he's against
right.
the Patriot Act.
This way,
okay?
That way.
Flip-flops.
Kerry is a flip-flopper, Mr. President. He is.
Okay. I don't flip-flop.
No, not you, Mr. President.
You never do.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Kerry flip-flops, Patriot Act, war, for it, against it.
Yes.
He's always for it. He's always against it.
Goes one way on an issue.
Yeah, then he goes the other
way. Kill the left behind. Kill the left behind.
That's right.
Not against your left behind. Flip-flops on every goddamn, everything.
Flip-flop. He is, Mr. President.
King of the flip-floppers, king. Really. He's the king.
Yeah, every issue, right?
Yes, yep. Everyone.
He's a king.
A flip Flopper.
He's the king of the flip-floppers.
Yeah, he's certainly king of we don't like kings around here, do we?
No, Mr. President.
We hate kings.
We do.
We talk about democracy here, don't we?
Yes. We do talk about democracy.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
I think democracy is a great thing.
We do, too.
That's right.
As long as it doesn't spread to this country.
All right.
Well,
God bless you.
All right. Well, God bless you, Mr. President, and we will certainly
God bless everybody.
See you next month. Climb the highest peak. Stay the course. And you've been listening to the Christmas Coup Comedy Players. That's a CCCP. First Thursday of the month, Laughing Nightmare, with David Dozer, John McDonough, Mark Kehoe, Moogie Klingman, Scooter, Marshall Efron, and Alpha Betty Olson, Joe Randazzo, Sharon Manning, Dan Ahern, John Sirius Almella, Christopher Zaguris, John Ashcroft, The Happy Tones, Free Radio Santa Cruz, The Android Sisters, me, Janet Coleman, and starring Randy Credico as the Presidents of the United States. Captain Privilege and Peter Patriot is written by Marshall Efron and Alpha Betty Olson. Peter Patriot is played by Marshall Efron, Captain Privilege by David Dozer, and engineered and edited by Christopher Zaguris. The Bush Bits are written by David Dozer. You can get in touch with us by email by going to our website, christmascoup.com. Please sign up and you can stay in touch with our doings and comings and goings. Thank you so much. See you next month. Stay tuned for the news.
Because of American leadership and resolve, the world is changing for the better. For diplomacy to be effective, words must be credible. And no one can now doubt the word of America. Different threats require different strategies. America is committed to keeping the world's most dangerous weapons out of the hands of the most dangerous regimes. The terrorists and their supporters declared war on the United States, and war is what they got.
In the wilds of downtown Iowa, the Average Network finds yet another Democratic Party debate which have flowered on the fertile Midwestern plains like hollyhocks in hell. They are everywhere. Today's debate features Governor Howard Dean, Senator Joseph Lieberman, Senator John Kerry, General Wesley Clark, the Reverend Al Sharpton, and Senator John Edwards. The proceedings are moderated by 60 Minutes' own Andy Rooney.
I often wonder why anyone would leave a comfortable Manhattan apartment and a one-day-a-week job to come to a miserable frozen bit of tundra like Iowa in January. The answer is simple. I'm being paid a whole lot of money, and I have heated electric underwear. We only have six of these simpering egomaniacs with us this evening. Dennis Kucinich couldn't find any avocados or extra virgin olive oil to run his bus on. Oh well, Dick Gebhardt got lost. Boy, those union drivers. Well, we'll have to make do with what we've got. Gentlemen, if that's not overstating it, good evening.
Bravo, Mr.
Rudy. Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Good evening.
Folks.
Well, I don't care how you are, and we're pressed for time. So what would any of you do about world terrorism?
Andy. Well, Andy,
Governor
Well, that certainly helps having you all talk at once. If you'd let me finish, we could establish some order. Now, Senator Lieberman, what would you do about terrorism?
Why would do exactly the opposite of whatever Governor Dean would do? I'm the heir apparent to Bill Clinton. I'm tough and resolute and progressive on terror.
Nobody asked about Bill Clinton, Senator. If I have my way, nobody will ever ask about him again. Senator Kerry?
Well, I just think Governor Dean is wrong.
I haven't said anything yet.
Tough on. Excuse me. This is my time, Governor Dean.
And stop crying.
I'm not crying. I'm famous for my resemblance to a basset hound. Now, Governor Dean says that Osama bin Laden is only a misunderstood terrorist. Whether he is or not, the American people understand raw meat. A vote for me is a vote for somebody who isn't Howard Dean.
Reverend Sharpton, aren't you just a blowhard with no chance of picking up a vote outside of ex-Motown musicians and drug-damaged New Yorkers?
I'm the only viable candidate considering what we're up against. George Bush and Karl Rove all serve a evil master in the ancient vampire, Count Richard Cheney. And what's wrong with old Motown musicians?
They're all 70 years old and blind.
What a hipper than you are.
Ed Bradley says Mount Rushmore is hipper than I am. He's probably right. What will you do about crime?
Outlaw it.
Very succinct. I'll give you 2 points for that one. Senator Edwards, what will you do about health care?
Well, first of all, we wouldn't let no-account Yankee come down to the South and tell us where to put our flags. Then I'd make plumb sure that everybody needed to sue somebody could. And then everybody'd be most covered if they's a mind to, on account of everybody paying everybody else. And then there's plenty of money floating around, and them hospital things could just suck it on up.
Well, that's what hospitals do already. Every time I have my colon replaced, it costs CBS a bundle. Governor Dean, why are you always so angry?
Well, Andy, I'm only angry
because he's always wrong about everything. Governor Dean doesn't like wibble-wos, only radicals.
He probably got kidney stones, needs him some greens.
Mr. Rooney, can I say something here?
What is it, General Clark?
Why I'm only angry at George Bush? I had to leave my cushy job as a security lobbyist to run for president because nobody else could. Hey, this is my time. Not everything is about you, Howard. It's about America.
Well, he's right, General Clark. I asked him first. What is it, Governor Dean? Why are you so upset?
Well, I'm angry because these guys pick on me and because George Bush and Karl Rove want me to win so I can be Mike Dukakis. Wouldn't you be angry if someone wanted you to be Mike Dukakis? I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
Does Governor Dean have a point, Senator Kerry?
Well, I don't care if he does or not. We can't beat George Bush just by poking holes in Howard Dean. But he sure looks angry. He's turning all pink, just like Joe. Now, do you really want a president who turns all pink? Vote for me. I'm taller than George Bush. He turns pink, too. I've seen him.
Senator Lieberman, can you turn as pink as the president?
Andy, I'm the progressive alternative to Governor Dean and his pinkness. I'm already pinker than President Bush.
This question comes from a listener named Marble Brickner of Grinnell. Gentlemen, everybody already knows that George Bush concocted an illegal war against Saddam. Aren't you all beating a dead horse by making that the centerpiece of your campaigns?
Well, Andy,
Well, there you go. I was going to call on you one at a time, but you can't follow simple rules. Our next question comes from Little Winnetka Cumberbund of Davenport, who asks the age-old question, what does America mean to you, General Clark?
Well, little Winnetka, it means a place where a weird little kid from a small town in Arkansas can take over an army and not be able to do anything with it, then get fired, get rich, and run for president.
As a CNN analyst.
Yeah, well, they asked.
Senator Lieberman, what does America mean to you?
It's a country where a simple kid from Connecticut can wise to the highest office in the land if the Supreme Court says he can.
Governor Dean, same question.
Andy, I'm just a simple country doctor. I'm not an engineer. You give me a patient coke to the gills and I can give you a country that hasn't been poisoned by George Bush and his vicious cronies committing atrocities on their persons and drinking mint juleps. He's dead, Jim, and it's time for a new vision.
Well, there he goes. Mint juleps. Hello? Hello? Is this microphone working? Hello? Oh, yeah. Howdy. America's a land full of clean living personal injury lawyers, and it's a land opportunity for anybody got's the gas to stand up.
Reverend Shopton?
America's a land where a weird little fat kid from Harlan could be a minister of God, James Brown's roads manager, marry some hot lady, be a minister some more, and still be president.
If you say so, Reverend. Senator Kerry?
Andy, America is a land where a weird little Irish Jewish kid from Back Bay can become a desecrated war wiener and hyper-senator even when he looks like a basset hound. And even though he can't keep his staff together, he can still beat George Bush like a peanut vendor and marry a cute rich wife and always have ketchup on the table.
Well, thank you all for coming. I can't imagine why you stayed. I wouldn't vote for one of these men if my life depended on it. Mike Wallace and me are riding in FDR. This is Andy Rooney for the Average Network saying, see you on a real network Sunday evenings at 7:54. You know what bothers me? These aren't debates. This is just a bunch of guys yelling at each other. You don't say
Why don't you try not listening?
Anybody seen my wife? Well, I've been looking for her too, Senator. Hey, that was supposed to be a joke. Hey, Wes, if we lose, what say we join the infantry, Wes?
I was in the infantry, Edwards. You can keep it.
I'm so angry, I can't stand it. How do you expect me to fix this? I'm just a simple country doctor. I can't stand it.
What was that? Governor Dean exploded.
I knew that would happen. You know what bothers me? Politicians taking themselves so seriously that they blow up. It's not like they have any regard for other people's clothes.
You have been listening to a transcribed debate from downtown Iowa, brought to you by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. The preceding program is episode 39 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, even though the title character does not actually appear. All impersonated celebrities were impersonated, and that was sure good enough for us. This is Pablo T. Flies asking you to stay tuned.